I'm Piers Corbyn. I'm a physicist, an astrophysicist, and director of WeatherAction long range weather forecasters. I got a first class degree in physics from Imperial College, did research in solid state physics, and then I got a later got an MSc in astrophysics, which included a lot of work on theoretical physics. And I published a number of papers on the mean matter density of the universe, on the string loop theory of galaxy formation, and on various aspects of meteorology, especially meteorological instrumentation and some aspects of greenhouse so-called effect, which is
Yeah, so tell us a bit about Imperial College, because for a long time it was a highly respected round the world
yes.
scientific institute, and then of course lots of private money's come into our institutions. What would you make of the changes over the last sort of 40 years or so, 50 years there?
Well, quite ironic in a way. When I was there, I was president of the student union and campaigned for a broadening of the courses. And
So
even
when was this?
this was 1969 to 1970. Even met the Queen, who came there to open a building, and put these points to her about the need for broader courses in Imperial College. And the college authorities agreed that they may have been going to do this anyway. But the consequence of that is they moved in things like medicine and so forth, which to an extent distorted aspects of Imperial College. But I still think the place is a centre of excellence. However, it's also got more and more corrupt influences, including from Bill Gates, especially in the climate change field. But that's not exclusively Imperial. A lot of other unis get loads of money to talk nonsense on climate change.
You know, take us back
Reading
to those days, the late 60s, early 70s. You were studying what exactly there, and what was it like as a student?
It was great. I was doing physics, and then did research in solid state physics and superconductivity, and theoretical physics. It was a very good place. I mean, it was very open discussions. And when I was president, I was always insisting on anything had to be evidence based, because there were, people saying all sorts of things. And I had an open door to a lot of top professors and so on who would talk to me about anything. Whether that's true now or not, I somehow doubt, because a lot of them do receive
So
money.
what were the controversies of those days then?
I'm trying to remember what was controversial. I mean, I know people were making claims. I mean, there was lots of ideas about, I'm having discussions about gravity, what was gravity really, and so forth. But I don't remember the basis of the controversies, funnily enough.
What about aliens, life outside Earth, that sort of thing?
That wasn't discussed anywhere. There was various scientific groups. There was the WellSock, it was called, that was named after H.G. Wells, who had been a student there, which would discuss all sorts of things, including that sort of stuff. But it wasn't part of what went on in the college. But it was a very open place for discussion of anything.
You brought to our attention David Icke this
Yes.
week and his discussion about chemtrails. We constantly hear this, and I mean, I personally, as someone that's had another life really working in the aviation business, and
Yes,
if you talk to pilots about it, they'll just laugh in your face.
of
And yet,
course.
people who are on Earth are constantly posting pictures of vapor trails in the sky as evidence of something. Now, anyway, what do you make of it?
Well, these things they put as evidence of something are not evidence of anything. They're just pictures of contrails. That is, of course, vapor trails from aeroplanes. and Fran, an air traffic controller, for example, goes through some of these and explains what they are. There's different airplanes at different levels flying to different destinations, and they make crisscross patterns in certain areas because there's a lot of planes going to Gatwick, for example, a lot going to and from Heathrow, or Stansted Airport or City of London Airport and so forth. So they will crisscross and they'll be at different levels to avoid collisions with each other. So everything you see there is natural. Some of the pictures put forward by the ChemCon trail PSYOP are actually AI. The poster they advertise for their rally, so-called, on the 20th of June, was obviously AI because it was a very bizarre symmetry in their so-called sky there to make the picture look better, as a standard person doing designing a poster would. But it was AI. Now, a very important thing to note is there is no chemicals in so-called chemtrails. This is NASA satellite measurements where they do reflective spectral analysis on everything on Earth from these satellites. And they look at so-called chemtrails and find there's nothing in there. It's only water vapor, absolutely only water vapor. Now, the chemtrail people say, oh, but Piers, look, there's more poisons. It's all poisons. Now, they can never point to a poison coming from the sky, but they say there's more poisons in the ground. Heavy metals or something. Well, the fact is that the satellite's crashing into Earth all the time, and they produce 30 kilograms of aluminium oxide daily. And there's a lot of barium compounds in there from various experiments done by the USA in near space, where they've been putting barium salts up there or whatever to increase reflectivity. These things come back to Earth and they're measured in the ground. But because you find them in the ground, it doesn't mean that the airplane that flew over dropped them at all. It's just complete disconnection from reality that
Well,
these
look, hang on.
things.
Why would people say these things?
Why do they put forward such a nonsense conspiracy theory? Well, I don't know, but you see, within the movement, there are people that will believe anything that isn't true because we've been lied to about vaccines, for example. Therefore, everything they say is them, meaning the powers that be, is untrue. So a lot of these people are also flat earthers, which of course is another nonsense. And interestingly, they group around David Icke, or well, there's a lot of people, isn't just him, who say these things. They never ask anybody involved in air traffic control or air safety or physics or meteorology, whereas all that I say is informed by all of those four groups of people. So what is their aim? Well, their aim is just to get followers and hits, I think. But the overall aim, which could be a reason why they get an amount of publicity, is that what happens is that we, i.e. the freedom movement, if you like, gets to look completely stupid because we're talking about things which are completely nonsensical and easily disproved. Yet we're portrayed as part of the freedom movement saying that. So therefore, when we oppose vaxxers, we're, well, anti-vaxxers believe in a flat earth or anti-vaxxers believe in chemtrails. Well, I am definitely an anti-vaxxer, but I don't believe in either a flat earth or a chemtrail. So I think that's the reason why certain publicity may come forward. Not to say that people doing it are doing it that for that purpose. They're just doing it to get internet hits from people who like to follow things which are nonsense.
Well, I know, but I think there's a couple of things to say here. First of all,
Yes.
contrails is condensation trails, it's short for,
Yes.
which is what US pilots use to describe them.
Oh, yeah.
British pilots tend to use the term, and European pilots just vapor trails. You
Yes.
can, if you want, if you can be bothered, you can go online and see plenty of pictures of dogfights going on over London during World War II.
Yeah,
With aircraft, piston engine aircraft, and later jet aircraft mostly piston engine leaving these vapor trails. It's simply
Yeah.
combustion in any engine
Yeah.
will leave a deposit of tiny water droplets, and those in the right kind of atmospherics will crystallize and oil form a cloud.
Exactly
And so
right.
that just slowly will disperse, or else it actually can start to seed other clouds, so other water droplets collect around those if the atmospherics are right.
Correct, that's absolutely right, Tony. And also the wingtips of airplanes under certain circumstances, especially when the air is very close to saturated or in fact supersaturated, will also form vapor trails. So it isn't only engines, although mostly it is engines, especially jet engines, but as you say, ordinary engines do it too.
Yeah, that's just because of the compressed airstream on the
Yes,
wingtips. Yeah,
that's right.
but look, David Icke says after we see the way weather can be manipulated technologically by heating the atmosphere and also steering the jet stream.
Look, this is nonsense. It's a word salad of meaningless statements. First of all, manipulated technologically. He doesn't say by what technology. And he talks about heating the atmosphere. Well, in what way, by what means? And manipulating the jet stream. Well, this is nonsense. Because you see, you understand every weather system we have is a world system. When you see it raining here, there's a big, a low pressure system or a high pressure system somewhere causing circulation, which gives you the weather you've got. But all of that is controlled or goes around or by the jet stream. The jet stream is a world system. It goes right around the world and joins on itself. So if you want to change weather in any significant way anywhere, you have to change the whole worldwide system. Now, that whole worldwide system is actually controlled by forces from outside, namely the particles reaching Earth from the sun. And the most important thing is the what happens at the magnetosphere. The solar wind of particles going at 1 million miles an hour impinges on the magnetosphere, has magnetic connections with Earth and these weather systems indirectly, or possibly directly in some instances, which give us what we have. So you can't change the jet stream without changing this input from the sun. And of course, this is completely beyond possibilities. They then talk about things like HAARP, right? Well, HAARP is a radiation thing, which is experimental to send things up to the ionosphere and back again. But they talk about that as causing or steering hurricanes. Well, this is just, again, complete nonsense because the power of HAARP is 4 megawatts. It would take HAARP, one HAARP machine, 3,000 years to produce the energy in one typical hurricane. 3,000 years. Or 1,000 HAARPs would take 3 years. Well, look, to do these things, you've got to do this in hours. So they're talking complete nonsense. Problem is, the people saying these things don't have any understanding of numbers or actually physics, because if they did, they wouldn't make such claims. And the heating of the ionosphere, that can be done, but of course any heating of the ionosphere is very trivial compared with inputs from the sun. And the ionosphere is above the stratosphere, so heating the ionosphere has, if you want to heat below the stratosphere, where the atmosphere where we have weather is, it has to get through the stratosphere. Well, that is impossible because the energies involved in the stratosphere are huge. I mean, that's 10 to the 13 watts absorbed of all the most of the ultraviolet from the sun is absorbed there. So you've got to overcome that to get through it. But which again is a nonsense. It is all just word salad to get followers.
Now, Elon Musk is talking about going to Mars.
Yes.
Ali McForever has pointed out that actually it's impossible. What do you think?
I agree with her. It is impossible because of the radiation involved in going through the Van Allen belts, that is, ionosphere, etc. because you would get and beyond that, because once you're also outside Earth, you're also exposed to very serious radiation, X-rays, ultraviolet, and so forth. And you can't get a spacecraft that can shield you from this because these high energy electromagnetism, such as X-rays or whatever, go through the metal hulls of spacecraft. So it's not a possibility. Will it ever be possible to go there? Well, I don't know, but for what reason? And of course, if aliens are visited, they would have these sort of problems anyway. So I suspect if there are any aliens around, they'll be just machines, sent to look at things and send back messages.
Well, hang on, because $1 trillion apparently is going into this, and there are millions of investors around the world who are pumping money into something you say is totally impossible. That surely there's got to be some checks and balances. Journalists and investors are going to be looking before they pump money into something which is not never going to work.
Well, I agree with you, and it's something worth investigating. But you see, most politicians are stupid. And if there's a craze for something generated by the media, they will put money into it. Like, there is a general belief in man-made climate change. And so when a charlatan comes forward and says, okay, we'll work on dimming the sun, they get paid millions. Like in the British Library, there's a group called the ARIA, the Advanced Research Invention Agency. Well, they're researching into dimming the sun, but it's impossible to produce enough of anything to dim the sun. Because if you want to dim the sun, you're going to have to put dust up there or something up there. It's got to, well, dust is the only way, really. Now, the amount of dust you would need to cool the Earth by as much as happened for when Krakatoa exploded. It would be the same amount of dust in the atmosphere as from Krakatoa, which maybe cooled the Earth by 1 degree. Okay, well, that amount of dust would require all the aeroplanes in the world filled with a plane load of dust every day, flying around for 3 years to drop that dust. Now, that isn't an attainable thing. So when they're talking about dimming the sun, it will never happen. But government will put money into it. Now, the people doing the research will know it's impossible, and they could just write a little report saying it's impossible. Or I could write it for them and just give the figures I've just given. It would take 10 minutes, or let's say an hour. I'd accept an hour's salary for that. But why does the government carry on with this nonsense then? It's because it's a propaganda which makes people believe there's something dangerous happening, i.e. climate change. That's why the government's researching into it. That's why we've got to obey, comply, be controlled, and pay extra taxes. Now, the extra taxes gained from the climate con, of course, are much bigger than they're handing out to these charlatans. So, the thing makes sense from the point of view
Well,
of the
it
government.
does look possible that Ed Miliband may even become Chancellor under Andy Burnham. I mean, he's notorious for building wind farms and also taxing all sorts of. I mean, he really I mean, deindustrialization, many people blame him
Yes,
for.
that's what it is. It's deindustrialization. Look, Ed Miliband is numerically restrained, I think, and I don't think you should have someone who's numerically strained in charge of money for the country. But anyway, there we are. What would he do as Chancellor? Well, probably want to spend more and more on the climate con, because man-made climate change does not exist, because carbon dioxide levels follow changes in temperature, not the other way around. The greenhouse theory is fake physics, just as geoengineering is fake physics. Well, you have fake physics, or virology is fake physics. They're used to, or fake science, they're used to justify spending gains by charlatans, for example. What would Ed Miliband do? I don't know. He would spend more on it. on this madness. But interestingly, Tony Blair has said we should give up on net zero because he wants to spend loads more money on data centres or surveillance centres, as I would call them, which require huge amounts of power and water and a lot of money.
Look, before we get on to data centers,
Yes.
you're talking about the climate con. I
Yes.
mean, when I was a young man growing up in London, in the 1960s,
Yeah.
1970s, we used to have much colder winters. We've hardly had a frost in the last winter, let alone snow. So there
Yeah.
clearly is climate change going on. So don't
Oh,
you
it's a
think you're
natural process.
discrediting yourself by calling it the climate con?
Well, the climate con is means that it's the claim that it's man-made changes, i.e., from extra CO2. But climate is always changing, absolutely right. These changes before us, we predicted. I gave a long, very long range forecast in New York in 2008 and said as we approach the grand solar minimum of solar activity around 2030, then as we get nearer that, there will be more extremes and it will get generally colder. And there have been more extremes, like the very cold 2010 December, for example. So there will be wild fluctuations and it will get generally more colder, and the average position of the jet stream will be further south.
Well, look, it seems a long time ago, Piers, but your brother Jeremy was the leader of the Labour Party.
Really?
We're now having this bizarre coronation. What are your thoughts of, where is democracy in the Labour Party? Because I would have thought at least the members would get a vote on who was going to
Yeah.
be the new leader. And what do you make of this new Burnham chap?
Well, I don't trust him. That's the first thing to say. Things that happened financially in Manchester, I think, should be investigated because it seems his wife was in charge of a lot of the contracts gained by the mayor of Manchester or the system around the mayor. So just say that should be looked into. As far as the contest goes, yes, well, David Lammy said he would stand, which would ensure a contest. But my guess is he'll be persuaded not to stand, so there won't be a contest. But Ed Miliband was also going to stand. So I think they should both stand for the sake of democracy, so we actually have a debate among Labour members, and then we could intervene in the debate because we want to put forward all the important things which we think any leader has to deal with. And there's about four of these things. They spell WCXI, if you remember that. War, W for wars. Any leader has got to end these wars abroad and stop British complicity in genocide. Second thing is the climate con. Any leader has to end the net zero climate con, is what I used to, as shorthand for that, and rebuild the economy because the spending on net zero is suffocating the economy. X is about ending the vax. We have to end all vaxes, and we personally, individually, should be seeking from doctors a pledge to not impose any vaccine on anybody, as it will come from the World Health Organization. And the I, of course, is stop DGID, which means take down these surveillance centres, don't spend anything on them, and well, keep cash, and of course, take down the surveillance cameras as well.
Yeah,
Yeah,
so
we want
but
a
I mean,
debate in that. That's
there
about
are all
that.
sorts of changes going on, whether you like it or not.
Yes.
Anyone that wants to be a director of a company has got to register digitally with the OneGov ID, which is a
Yeah.
complete disaster, IT nightmare,
I know.
as
Well, I'm
I've been
not going to
discussing
register.
with my local MP. But then there's also this idea of young people under 16s or under 18s, whatever it happens to be, having to identify their age before they're allowed
Yes.
to use social media.
Yes, and of course that means everyone has to identify their age, which is a way of getting a full data set of everybody for total control. We have to refuse to.
Well, I can imagine that meaning quite a lot of pensioners will be not able to use the internet.
Well, that's right. For one, a lot of them don't want to be mess around with the internet or don't understand it. And personally, I don't want to have anything to do with that. Now, it may well mean that I won't be able to get online with certain websites. Well, fine, I won't go to them then. And when it comes to these OneGov forms, I think legally you can say to them, look, I want to fill this in on a piece of paper and send it you through the post. I can't see them, well, legally stopping that, though of course they might change the law.
I mean,
But we have
is it
to
legal to
resist
tell
this
someone
creep.
that you've got to prove who you are?
Well, I
It
don't know. There
certainly
must
back
be
in the day,
doubtful.
this was a sort of thing which was done maybe by a driving license or a
Yes.
passport, but we're talking about expanding the idea of this to thousands of basic activities in life.
Yeah. Well, it's about total digital control of what we're doing and massive data centers to process it and AI look at it and probably predict what you're about to do and get ready to take money out of your bank account if you break your carbon footprint or something. So this digi control is about total control, about a new world fascism, and we have to stop it.
Okay, where can people find and follow you, Piers?
Come to my Twitter account or X account, which is X at Piers underscore Corbyn. That is the best way. And for the weather stuff, and they are linked to this website too, go to weatheraction.com. And there, obviously, I would like to advertise. People can get forecasts online, bit of free information, but also can buy long-range forecasts. And we're currently selling some to full forecasts of full details out to the end of October. And you can get these at a reduced rate by chance today, July the 1st. We said we're putting the price up at midnight tonight to encourage people to buy.
Oh no, this is going out tomorrow.
Well, okay. Perhaps we should hold the price rise for another day or something.
Well, if they can maybe, people can maybe get in touch with you. But look, I know there is
Yeah,
also
okay.
actually
We could hold it for a day.
quite a
People
lot
get in
of
touch and they can buy this, yes.
yeah, quite a
At the
lot of
reduced rate.
activities through the week going on in London. If you could give us a bit of a summary. And actually, there are things like monthly meetings taking place. So can you just sum up, for people who are
Yeah.
interested, what's going on in London these days?
Certainly. Every Thursday we have a Truth Hour outside the BBC, where we announce, well, we were announcing Lie of the Week, but usually we talk about government scandal of the week or whatever. But that's interesting stuff we put forward there and ask the BBC to have discussions on it, which they generally don't. But we do air these things for alternative media as well. Then after that, we go to, that's at 1 o'clock. And that's advertised again on at Piers underscore Corbyn on X. After that, a group of us go to outside Palantir at 4 o'clock. The headquarters of Palantir being in 20 Soho Square. And we are there to demand the expulsion of Palantir, which is a military AI operation which surveils everybody in the UK and what works in the NHS. And there's another thing happening this Thursday at the Keep Talking group. There's a number of speakers on things of the moment. I can't remember exactly, but there's some certainly about what's happening in the Middle East going on there. And that's at the Keep Talking meeting, which is in Vauxhall, in that tea room pub behind quite near Vauxhall Tube. That's Thursday,
Yeah,
Friday.
it's in the
Oh,
park, isn't it? Just opposite
yeah, that's right.
the
That's right.
MI6.
That's right. You can get there, but again, come on to our Twitter account to see that
Do
stuff.
MI6 ever turn up there?
Well, probably, but they don't announce their presence.
Okay, Piers Corbyn, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you indeed, Tony, for this interview.